Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another program. It is the SWP. We are here weekly-ish. Steve Warren along with Jim Jerome. We got lots to get to. Everybody, apparently anybody who's anybody wants a piece of the Ottawa Senators. The Jack Adams curse is alive and well in the NHL, and Tiger continues to struggle on the romance front. We'll leave it at that. We'll get to that.
That's not the top. That's not the top story.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
How are you, James?
We're in the same town still. I'm here for a couple days more. Yeah, I had a good time. I was out for the, which you connected me with, by the way. Thanks, with the boys in Metcalf, 16, 17 years. I didn't realize there's mushroom farmers out there. There's a, I think it's called Carlton right. Mushroom Farm. And so that many years ago, they started a dinner to raise money for local charities. And there's a whack of them. So they start off quietly, Steve. Okay. The 600 guys, you know, see you there at five and maybe have a couple of pops. And then the dinner and then an auction. I forget who the auctioneers were, but they did a hell of a job. Cause I've done auctions, you know, before. I love doing them. They're a riot where I've done the auctioneering and I've, you know, if there's more than 10 items, Steve, you know, that begins to be a bit of a chore, you know, they go up to 15 items, you know, and I get the dilemma, right? You want to keep everyone interested, but I top out at 15, right? So. These auctioneers did 60 items.
Oh my.
And, it was unreal how fast they do it, how they bomb through them.
Good.
The outpouring of generosity for, not only sort of items that you might use, Steve, but for stuff that you'll never use, you know,
like, right.
Like they just,
that's 60. I mean, my God, I'm surprised it's not still going as we speak. 60, 60 live. I mean, 60 silent auction items is enough.
It's they probably had that many of those too. You know, someone bought a plastic tractor, Steve, for $1,000. A cornhole game, Steve. Okay, the two boards with the, and they said you got the two cornhole boards, Stevie. And by the way, it also includes the bean bags. Okay.
Right.
They threw in the bean bags, Stevie, $800. Okay. I mean, that's something your kid could make in shop class, you know?
Why isn't it bean bag toss? When did it become cornhole exactly?
Yeah. I don't see a joke there anywhere. You know, nothing there that could be made fun of. Upwards of 90,000, Stevie, they raise 90 grand. Bit of a tough crowd. Could be, Stevie. I heard the last comedian there got pelted. So they got mushrooms at every table, Steve. Well, you know, with the dipping sauce, right? It's called Shroom Fest. Yeah. And so they celebrate the mushroom farmer or farmers. I don't know how many there are. And so the last guy, Steve, they didn't like him. So they pelted him with mushrooms. Okay. And whole mushrooms, Stevie, that were there. And so I was nervous, Stevie. You know, I'm always kind of nervous doing them. Some, you know, a healthy level of nerves, right? And I mean, you've done it. You know what it's like. You know that feeling, right? And
never been a fan of it, but I know you love it.
So, I was kind of nervous going, like these guys could be monsters, Stevie. You know, tough farming guys, right? And anyway, I wasn't sure what to do, Steve. I've been doing it a long time, and I was like, I don't know if that joke will fly. Like Gordon Lightfoot just died. That may not be a good opener. changing things. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to be an idiot.
Floor it.
And anyway, Stevie, gangbusters. It works.
Good.
Yeah, it works.
Good.
So anyway, congratulations, Metcalf. And all the boys out there, Al Graham and Steve Corleone and a bunch of the other guys I met who are big fans. Al Graham's brother actually I gotta give you a little plug, Stevie, because he's a big fan of the SWP. And let me get his name here, Stevie. Harold Graham, who came up to me. He's the brother of Al, and said, I love my connections to Sudbury. Anyway, he's married to one of my neighbors, Stevie, in Sudbury, Michelle Beaudry. Okay. So anyway, everyone was super kind. I had a riot doing it, and hopefully we'll be back next year. But 93,000 bucks they raised. So well done. It was a riot.
And really not that punitive at the end of the day if you did suck. Yeah. Because if you're going to get pelted with agricultural items or produce, I mean, mushrooms are pretty high on the list of ones you'd be willing to endure. These soft, rubbery, light little things. Of all the things you could get pelted with, mushrooms ain't
that bad. Well, take a look, Stevie,
as I speak. Although they might stain your shirt.
It's one of my Twitter, because I want to be pelted with mushrooms. Okay? So I was like this, Stevie. I was like, okay, I want to be pelted with mushrooms. Whammo! Beer can. Okay? Right in the head. I loved it. You can see it. I'm just laughing my head off I'm standing in the middle of a table, and it was just hilarious. It was hilarious. And Stevie, by the way, I spent some time with Angry Al. Yeah.
Excellent.
I haven't seen Angry Al in probably since my mother died in 2012. We've fade away, Stevie. We haven't stayed that connected, but, he came out. So this is how it went, Steve. So I haven't seen him in that many years, whatever, 11 years. So we caught up this fast, Steve. This is how fast we caught up. I saw him and I came walking over and he said, "Hey, stupid." And I said, "Hey, fatso."
That sounds right.
And that was it, Stevie. We were caught right up. "Hey, stupid. Hey, fatso." Hug. Yeah, good to see you.
Nice.
And on we went, so.
I think it was at the Sun Scramble I last saw him. And Angry Al, for those who don't know that name, he was, he ascended from a caller to a sometimes host on TSN 1200 and obviously a good friend of ours, but or an estranged good friend of ours. I haven't talked to Al in a long time. It was the Sun Scramble, I think the last time, and he was having all kinds of trouble with his neck and his back.
Right. Yeah, he's all
stiff as a board.
He's all done. He's all done. Got a new knee, new jaw. He actually works with or for and Kevin Pidgeon, the pitch, right?
Nice.
Who was Tommy Lefebvre.
Tommy Lefebvre,
I think Kev went into the developing, building, constructing seniors' homes. And I think they're doing gangbusters. Anyway, I've been working for him for a couple of years. So it was old home week, Stevie, old home week.
Nice.
And had a rush. And hi to everyone who listens to the show.
With life moving so fast, don't you wish you could just freeze time? Well, that's what Jim K. Ford is doing for you, because right now, when you custom order a new 2023 Ford Explorer from Jim K., you can lock in your factory order bonus of up to $1,000. And if there's a better incentive when you take delivery, you can choose that instead. It's that simple. Start your journey today at Jim K. Ford in Orleans or at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago, and one of the things he took care of was the staging, which is crucial.
I mean, and especially in this market, you have to stage in this market. You have to present the homes online well, because buyers' expectations have changed, and they're so knowledgeable now. They go online, and they can see the photos. If they don't like the photos and it doesn't present well online, they're not going to go see the home.
Find out more from Glenn online today, glennwalton.com.
Let's jump in today. Got lots to get to, and probably the one that you grabbed your attention right out of the gate when I was headlining. It was Tiger Woods' ex-girlfriend recounting breakup details in a new court filing. I didn't even know they weren't together anymore, to be honest. I wasn't paying much attention, I guess.
But, which girlfriend? He's had a few.
Well, this is Erica Herman is her name, and they broke up, I believe, last fall in October.
Uh-huh.
And she's decided to come forward offering new perspective on the breakup I shouldn't put it this way. It was in court filings that all this came out. And I guess they're continuing to wrangle in court over the details of the breakup. And if these court filing allegations are accurate, it's pretty clear that Tiger is just really not a good guy when it comes to the relationship thing. Yeah. You know, here's
normally Steve court. You wouldn't, if you want to give people the details, like if you want to get someone off your chest, Steve, you would, you know, that might be something, Steve, where you pen a letter to Dear Abby or something. Maybe to your friends or something. Why court filing, Steve? What is she filing in court?
Well, they've been together 6 years, and I guess that makes them, I'm not sure what the American version of it, makes you common law, and she's seeking both financial compensation, and she wants to be released from her NDA that she signed, a non-disclosure agreement that prohibited her from revealing details about her time in the relationship, which is sort of Tiger operating procedure. When Fluff Cowan was his caddy, I think he had to sign a non-disclosure as well. But this is some of the stuff that is in the filing. And apparently, Herman states in the filing that Tiger decided to pursue a sexual relationship with his employee, then, according to him, forced her to sign an NDA about it or else be fired from her job. And when he became disgruntled with their sexual relationship, he tricked her into leaving her home, locking her out, taking all her money, her pets, her personal possessions, and tried to strong-arm her into signing a different kind of NDA. And there was also him pressuring her to stop working at her job, to devote herself full-time to their relationship and caring for him and his children. And when they finally broke up last October, he ended the relationship through what Herman describes as a scheme. He told her to pack a bag for a short trip to the Bahamas. But when the two arrived at the airport, Woods told her, "Here's my lawyer," and he got on the plane without her. Welcome to Dumpsville, population nice. U. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Here's something. I was making notes, Steve, of the six or seven talking points, the backstory. Okay. Tagger took all her money. No. Tagger's okay. Okay, Tiger's okay, because Tiger makes about $1 billion a year.
Well, yeah, no, but taking her cash obviously limits her.
He didn't take her cash.
That's what she's claiming.
And I can't believe, Steve, she's claiming for some financial restitution.
Mm.
Whoever does that, Steve, whoever dates a star, has a relationship with them, and then they break up, and then you don't hear about it, you know, because it's a private thing. She signed a non-disclosure, Steve. And then right out of left field, Steve, I'd like to sue him for some cash.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, yeah. We're breaking news here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You never hear that. You know that, Steve. No one ever goes after the money when these guys are
rich. Oh, it's an outlier, all right. It's an outlier. And yeah. Lastly, apparently, then Mr. Woods' California lawyer out of the blue told her she was not going anywhere, would never see Mr. Woods again, had her locked out of the house, and she could not return. She would not be able to even see the children or her own pets again. And anyway, Woods obviously is a different picture on everything. Yeah. And so it's a big old battle.
Like maybe, Steve, I want to be a pro-am partner of Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Maybe be a, you know, in a little $5 Nassau.
Yes.
You know, I want Tiger to be my partner.
Yeah.
Tiger's got a bit of a history, Steve.
Sure.
Okay. Bit of a tough time, Steve, trying to settle down with a girl or two. Right?
It's true.
Who goes in for that, Stevie?
Hmm. Yeah.
I do. I'm in. You might get a loose 10 mil or something, Steve.
So you're just basically putting it out there right now in the podcast that if Tiger decided he wanted to flip up his sexuality and start dating Jim Jerome, you're down with that.
Oh, I'm transitioning, my friend. Yes, nice. Absolutely. Yep. So anyway, maybe girls, you know, maybe, I don't know, go back over, look up some, you know, Google a couple things about the big T.
Right.
Huh, Stevie? The big monster T. Yeah. Maybe you want to see what you're getting into there.
I should give the, for balance, I should give the Tiger side of things.
Yes, let's hear that.
His attorneys painted a much different picture. Mrs. Herman, or Miss Herman, was invited to live in the residence while she was in a relationship with her former boyfriend, Eldrick Woods, who continues to live in the residence with his two kids. After Mr. Woods recently terminated the relationship, Miss Herman was advised she was no longer welcome in the residence. And that doesn't sound dramatically different. It just sounds like he's finding all the standard basic stuff but didn't really address all those allegations in there. Didn't go out and say all that stuff's not true. This sounded more like a summary than any kind of a counter to the argument.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know. Well, I don't know, Steve. I might give it some thrift, Steve. If this girl said, I was in the pantry, reaching out to get some Weetabix, and all of a sudden, man, next thing I know, Tiger's in there, and I don't know, Steve, what happens around that house? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't.
I don't think anybody's eating Weetabix or reaching for Weetabix. Nobody. A little Ovaltine not go down there?
Yes, maybe. Yeah. Tiger might be into that now. He may need it. Anyway, right. Be careful out there, girls. Yep. Be careful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, on the celebrity front.
Yes.
If you're not trying to buy the Ottawa Senators and you call yourself a celebrity, well, shame on you. Because right now, everybody wants the Senators. You've got Ryan Reynolds, which is well documented. Yes. Since we last got together, Snoop Dogg has come forward. And now, yesterday, The Weeknd, one of the hottest pop singers on the planet, he's now in the mix. Each of the three celebrities have aligned themselves with three different groups. And I don't know. I mean, I'm an Ottawa guy. I love my little hockey team here. And this is really our, as far as big league sports goes, really all we got going. And so, yeah, I mean, I love it. And the people listening who live in Ottawa, they love it. But I never in a million years, Jimmy, did I see three celebrities who all probably, each are worth in excess of $200 million, all fighting to buy our Ottawa Senators. It's bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I have an idea why they might. Other than the whole thing floating around in the last few years, where it was kind of like Stevie, franchises were $400 or $500 million or something like that. It just seems, and then one day, whammo, Denver Broncos $4.6 billion. Other teams, bills and bills and bills, billions and billions. And so then some of these stars may be going, okay, I can see what's happening here. The franchise fees are tripling in about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what's bringing a bunch of these guys, Stevie.
Just to intervene, I mean, when Melnick bought this team, that was less than 20 years ago, and he got it for about $130 million. And they're now saying it's going to go for over $1 billion. You're not going to find that many investments that go off quite like that. But it's just fascinating to me that so many of these celebrities, and some really big names are jacked about. I mean, it's not like this is a first pro franchise that's come available in the last 20 years. It's the Ottawa Senators. And for some reason, there's some really big name talent celebrity wise that wants to get into this thing.
Do you think too, Stevie, it might be the Canadian dollar versus the American dollar? If guys are looking to invest, I mean, it's a gross difference right now, right?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know if this would
be. I want to say 30 cents or something. You could look it up, I guess, what the American dollar is. I'm not sure, but.
I do not know what the, I don't know if it's, I don't honestly don't know if the price is going to be in Canadian dollars or American. I know
I would love to have Snoop Dogg as an owner of the Ottawa Senators, wouldn't you?
Well, he's right into it too. I mean, I think people who don't know Snoop Dogg very well would think that here's a hip hop artist, what does he know about hockey, and they jump to that conclusion. Would be wrong though. He's been popping around the NHL for about 20 years now. Like I remember him at the 2007 Stanley Cup final when Anaheim was taking on the Ottawa Senators, and he was consistently brought on. And you were on the show at that point. Right. We had fun with the clip because it was Scott Oak in the stands with Snoop Dogg, and he was interviewing Snoop, and then he asked him to throw it to Bob Cole.
Snoop, I told you a moment ago that Bob Cole is a legendary hockey broadcaster in Canada, so if you'd be so kind for us at Hockey Night in Canada to throw to Bob for the third period.
Well, shizzle, dizzle, with the big Snoopy Deagle double jizzle. I'm going to shoot it back to my main man, Bob Cole. Take it away, would you please?
All right, Daddy. I got you. That's the coolest, man.
Thanks, Daddy.
Physicial or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever it is. Anyway.
Thanks there, Daddy.
Yeah.
Oof, that's all she wrote. Yeah.
Yeah.
I met Snoop Dogg, Stevie.
Oh, yeah? Is he a good guy?
I did. I met him on August 1st, 2010 in Montreal.
Okay. Why do you know that date?
Because it was I was on my way to treatment.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the day I got sober. That's my sober date. And I was in the airport in Montreal. You know, my life was upside down.
I thought you were going to tell me you got into rehab with Snoop. That would have been.
No, he was in the same lineup as me going through customs.
Right.
And he had a concert there the night before.
Hmm.
And cool. He was like, I said, hey, Snoop. He said, hey, dude, what's up? You know, I said, I'm going to treatment. He turned to his manager who was with him. He goes, change our flights. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think if you go back, melons. I think, I mean, everybody in this town has been clamoring for new ownership for a long time. And I think 5 years ago, if you'd told me any of these three names might be available to be part of the Ottawa Senators ownership, I would have said, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. And that's cool. But I think Ryan Reynolds, because of the welcome to Wrexham thing, I think that is clearly got to give him an advantage on the other two. They all have massive followings and they can all bring a lot of marketing savvy, but Ryan Reynolds has that welcome to Wrexham thing. And if he really does plan to do a Wrexham like documentary show that's going to air all over North America, that's not just great for the Ottawa Senators. That's great for the NHL.
Yeah. Well, good point, right? I was just going to ask you, what's the difference if Ryan Reynolds or Snoop Dogg or The Weeknd own the Senators over some private, under-the-radar company?
Right.
And I think you're right. I think the NHL might look at this thing going, Gary Bettman might go, this is a great idea to promote the NHL, to promote more ownership, Steve, big ownership. You know, in the world of entertainment, it makes sense because hockey is in the world of entertainment.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah. And it would be so good for hockey fans too, in that, you know, you'd really be taken inside. If you've seen any of Welcome to Wrexham, it's not just, you know, interviews with players, you know, it's like you're so inside on absolutely everything. And I watch Welcome to Wrexham and I say to myself, if I am, you know, inserting Ottawa geography, Ottawa personalities, Ottawa players, throw in Ryan Reynolds and his pal from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And what's his name?
I forget.
I apologize. McElhaney.
No.
Something along those lines. Anyway.
McElgallardo.
Nope. Rob McElhaney, I think it is. Sorry.
McElvaney? McVaney?
McElwain?
Johnson?
That's it. Smith. Yeah. Anyway, so I think you know, just thinking in those terms, if they can deliver that to Ottawa and the NHL, I think that would make them the clear leader. I mean, if everything else was equal, I don't know anything about the financials of the Nico Sparks group or the Remington group or the group that the Weeknd is tied his wagon to right now. So it's but it's a fascinating trio that that are after the mighty Sens.
Yeah. What happened, Steve? Because when Anaheim came in and Disney and the Mighty Ducks, remember, it was like, what? What are they going to call them? They obviously had a method to their madness there. And I mean, Anaheim is still in the league, of course. That's a long time ago. But
and they dropped the Mighty, though. That was part of it. Yeah. That was part of the overall marketing scheme. They had the Mighty Ducks movies. Disney bought the team. Right. Keep the Mighty Ducks franchise name. And it was a huge deal at the time. But after a while, it becomes kind of tired and you move on from it. The same way the Raptors. I mean, that's a cool name, I suppose, but it was a big deal when Jurassic Park was a big deal as a movie. And so I don't know if it makes a lot of sense.
And Drake, man. Look at Drake. Everyone associates that with Drake. So I hope Snoop Dogg gets it, Stevie.
Snoop is your fave?
Yeah. I'm finna bend the corner. I'm no rider, dog. You heard me?
You have Snoop loaded on your phone.
Still a thing, Stevie. Still nice. A thing.
All right, I'm gonna invite Jim to drop it like it's hot. We'll take a time out on the program. We've got more to come. We had every Jack Adams nominee from last year in the NHL fired since that time. And we'll also talk about we've got a new king. We've got a new king, and it's not Elvis. We'll talk about it all after these words.
With life moving so fast, don't you wish you could just freeze time? Well, that's what Jim K. Ford is doing for you, because right now, when you custom order a new 2023 Ford Explorer from Jim K., you can lock in your factory order bonus of up to $1,000. And if there's a better incentive when you take delivery, you can choose that instead. It's that simple. Start your journey today at Jim K. Ford in Orleans or at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
So did you watch any of the coronation on Saturday? King Charles III is now business.
I didn't.
Yeah. It was, I watched highlights of it. I didn't watch it live or anything like that. But
right.
What I couldn't get past is that, you know, Queen Elizabeth passed away a few months ago. And here comes King Charles III. I swear to God, I said to my, this can't possibly be the Queen's son. That has to be her brother or something.
Right.
Because he looks exactly like her. He could be her twin. Anyway, he's the he's now taken over. Camilla, even in there, is the queen now with the crown and everything. I don't pay enough.
They had matching hats. I saw that.
Yeah.
Saw.
They get the matching L.A. King hats. I love that. I love that logo. But they do look like the L.A. King's hats, crowns. And but I didn't know that, honestly. I thought that she was going to be, you know, queen in title or something.
Right.
I didn't realize she was actually going to get the big throne.
I forget what they call it. Queen consort or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever that means.
Anyway, moving right along, he's also going to be on all the coins. And I'm wondering if I'm still going to be able to test my winter tires out. Because I use a good nickel. Slide that into the tread of your tires to decide if there's enough tread left to keep the tire going for one more season or not. And in the past, we've had the queen's head there, and there was no crown or anything on the back of the nickel. And as long as her head was buried just a little bit inside the tread, then the tire was still good. But if her whole head was showing outside the tire, then it's time to change your tires. I'm curious to know if I'm still with King Chuck on the back of my coins, if I'm still going to be able to use that to test out my tires, which I still have to do. It's about 25 degrees right now. It's probably time to take off the winters.
Did you say she's going to be on the coin as well?
No. She's
going to be?
No, just King Charles. So that just takes a joke away that probably didn't need to be said.
Yeah, if I was going to go slot, hole, stuff her head in there. I had a bunch, Stevie.
Yeah. This Shroom Fest has really brought back Jim Jerome in this show. Really brought you back.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Steve? You know what happens when someone bends over to pull out the Weetabix.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. If they're bent over for anything but Weetabix, then it's not a problem. But if it's Weetabix.
You're making me cough.
The NHL coaching gig is not a very stable one, unless you're DJ Smith here in Ottawa, who appears to be unfireable. But he's been here 4 years, and just one guy after another who was hired after DJ Smith keeps getting fired, and Gerard Gallant is the latest.
Right.
Sorry, it was a mutual thing. Rangers announced on Twitter, Rangers and head coach Gerard Gallant have mutually agreed to part ways. They did.
Especially, Steve, after we heard that Gallant had a argument, a yelling match with the GM. That always means mutual agreement, Steve.
I think. No
doubt. How'd that go for you? How'd that go for you? You know, screaming at the general manager.
Yeah, Gallant is a fiery guy. He's a nice guy, but really fiery. And when things go sideways, and we saw it when he was a Detroit Red Wing riding shotgun with Stevie Yzerman for all those years, and Bob Probert. What a line that was.
Right?
Yeah, he had a lot of fire. Played the game with fire, and also a coach that has a lot of fire as well. And so, yeah, there was a bit of a run-in. Anyway, don't know the details behind it. But it sure looked like the world was his oyster after the first two games of the playoffs. The Rangers absolutely murdered the Devils in New Jersey to take a 2-0 lead. And the Devils then responded by coming out coming back and trampling in the other direction. So Gallant is out. And just amazing that last year's NHL Coach of the Year nominees, Gerard Gallant, Andrew Brunette, Daryl Sutter, all fired since being nominated for those awards this time last year. You are so hired to be fired in the NHL.
Coach, yeah, and I think Daryl Sutter might have won it the year before.
He did win it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But
yeah, that's the Jack Adams jinx.
Yeah. The curse. Yeah. And it's, I don't know if that's ever happened before, where all three nominees from last year get fired within one calendar year. That's, again, the Jack Adams curse thing, you know, it has been talked about for about 30 years, but all right. Three nominees, the curse has taken it to a new level.
Did you also see, Steve, where, although no one said it, but apparently it didn't need to be said, when Johnny Hockey Goudreau and Tkachuk, is it Matthew?
Yep.
See the Tkachuk? Matthew, yeah. So they bolt, okay? They bolt out of Calgary, and it's like, maybe it's because they don't like the coach, you know, Daryl Sutter, and Russ said it's for sure that they didn't, okay? Right. Without anyone saying that. Did you see, Steve, they fired Daryl Sutter, and apparently there were a bunch of guys who were requesting trades from Calgary, or a handful, or two, or several, or that wanted to be traded, and they rescinded their request, Steve, when they fired Daryl Sutter.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That pretty much seals it then, right?
We
suspected it from day one, and we talked about it. You can go back to old episodes from a buddy, I guess a year ago now. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just look at that guy. He rubs me the wrong way. Oh, I mean, I love it. From what we do, it's always nice to get something that's off the page, whatever it is, good or bad. It's always nice to hear something that's not take it one game at a time. And Daryl Sutter was certainly that. He would always, you know, either his bland way of speaking, or, you know, just making fun of somebody who's trying to ask a question in the media, or the way he treats his players, that Gaudreau line about the 500th game, for example.
Right.
Hey, hey, coach, what do you think about Johnny Gaudreau? He's playing his 500th game tomorrow night. I hope it's better than his 499th game was.
Right.
It just seems like a jerk. He seems like a jerk. And I think that sort of taskmaster style of coaching has pretty much passed things by in 2020.
Well, you know, the other thing too is you think there's going to be a punchline, right? It's like, what do you think of his 500 game? You know, you might go, Stevie, well, I hope it's better than his freaking last one.
Oh yeah.
You know what? Well, he thinks he's a guy, though. 500 games, can't say enough about it, right?
Yeah, he does. He's
not going to happen.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And he thinks he's hilarious, but he's just not.
Right. I can't imagine being married to the guy. He looks a little testy to me, Steve. Okay. Yeah. A little grumpy.
By the way, two of the participants. Well, just by the way. So okay. Johnny Gaudreau leaves. I don't know if you had a chance. Maybe I talked about it in the last episode. I forget, but I'm going to say it again anyway. Johnny Gaudreau, the fall off that guy had from last year to his year in Columbus. Oh my God. What happened to that guy this past season has been just unbelievable. So
pull it up.
I got her. So last year, 115 points with the Calgary Flames in 82 games. 115 points. Wow. Yeah. And then this year, he played a full season again, 74 points. 41 points off of his total from last year. But that doesn't even remotely compare to what happened to his plus minus. Last year, Johnny Gaudreau was number one in the NHL with a plus 64.
Big.
Yeah. This year, minus 33. Hello, hello, 97 point turnaround in your plus minus. Something happened.
What happened?
Something must have happened.
Calgary is a good team, right? Maybe.
Columbus is not.
Stevie.
Yes.
By the way.
Okay.
I think, Steve, my Edmonton Oilers, okay, who are tied 1-1, they didn't look very good in the – is that the first game against Vegas where Draisaitl got 4 goals in a loss?
That was game one, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because it was like a night later, or the same night, Pavelski got 4 goals and Dallas lost. So anyway, Oilers win 5-1 last night. Draisaitl gets, let's see, he's got 4. He got 2 more goals, got 6 or something in this series. Okay, he's got 8 or 9 goals, Stevie, and how many games have they played? Or 6, whatever. Okay, Steve, he's got a bunch of goals.
Yep.
Stevie.
Yes.
This may be, because everyone always says the same stupid shit all the time when you got a really high scoring line. Okay. And of course, it's Draisaitl and Connor, who for 2 years now have been lighting it up.
Yep.
Okay. Lighting it up. And everyone goes, well, you can't win, Steve, with one line. You know what, Steve? I think you can. I think the Oilers may be the first team to come along and go, you know what? Obviously, you can't win with one line and two of your best players. Go look at the stats there, Stevie, from last night's game, okay? And the previous game, even in a loss, and the first round. It's like Draisaitl, McDavid goal, McDavid assist, Hyman gets in there, I don't know, about every fifth point or something, Steve. Draisaitl, Grant, yeah. This may be the first time, Steve, that a hockey team single-handedly with a suspect goaltending situation wins with one line.
Right. You got to give a little shout-out to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, though, who joined them as 100-point scorers, as a 100-point scorer this
year. Regular season.
Yeah, yes. Regular season for sure. But, yeah, I mean, it's – we'll
but
see.
But he's nowhere in the playoffs, I don't think, is he?
I'm not sure what his stats are in the playoffs right now, but he certainly, you know, showed up this year. Looking at last night's game, he had two assists in that one. So anyway, it's all good. But I mean,
he's nowhere, Jim, other than two assists in a huge game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The Knights are certainly going to be a tough out, and things are getting feisty. Things got good and feisty in that second game. Evander Kane had one guy down and was wailing on him. There's always that unwritten rule that you don't hit a guy when he's down. I think Kane was cognizant of that, so he's giving him body blows. He had him down, right. But he's giving it to him in the ribs and the shoulder and the ribs. And this is what he had to say. The reason it was, I think it was Kolesar from Vegas. He was asked by the media about that whole thing about hitting the guy while he's down. And also the reporter had never seen a guy with all those body blows before.
Well, yeah, I mean, you also don't see a lot of guys getting jumped from behind and headlocked. And then, you know, when you want to fuck around, sometimes you got to find out. So that's what happened.
So first we have to decide how much do we want to find out. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my fuck around line. That there is going to tell me how much I have to fuck around to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out.
So there's the science behind it, James. Little college professor action breaking down exactly how much you need to fuck around to find out.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. Feels like I wrote that bit. Anyway, I you know what? I like it, Stevie. I like it. I like the Evander Kane thing, right? The deal is, I think, more so, Steve, you can't punch a guy in the head when he's down for sure, right? That's the, you could kill a guy.
Yeah.
You could literally kill a guy if he lifts his head up and you punch him in the face and he smashes his head, you know, on the back of the ice, or smashes the back of his head on the ice. I don't mind that move, though, Stevie. When you read why Evander Kane did it, right? He said, if you're going to F around, right?
Yep.
Then you're going to pay for it. So that's what happened, you know?
You had Knights fans on the other hand saying that was unacceptable. That's so cheap. And then a bunch of Oiler fans get loose with old Kolesar highlights where I think it was Tom Fitzgerald. He's got him in a fight. Fitzgerald is down, completely restrained by the other linesman, and Kolesar is reaching over and just swatting him with fist after fist in the side of the head.
Right.
So let's not the old glass houses thing comes into effect here.
Yeah, and I think he wrapped his hands around his neck or his throat and yanked him down right out of the scrum, like yanked Evander Kane backwards, you know,
right.
Out of the scrum. So
yeah
I like it. It's playoffs, Steve. Playoffs, yeah. Right? Yeah, the body blows, Stevie.
Love it. Nice. Love it.
Good move.
And lots of good stuff still to come. So we'll take our leave with that. Anything else we need to know? Anything anything new? You're here in town? Are we getting together on?
You love the team.
I do.
You didn't bring up anything about the Maple Leafs. This show. Well, they're 0-2, pal. You got to be happy.
Don't jinx it.
I gotta apologize to the fat guy, Steve, who modeled the Toronto Maple Leaf jersey I brought to the Metcalf event.
That's a terrible thing to say about Angry Al.
Oh, Stevie.
You started the show by calling him that.
Good one.
I love Al. I love Al.
Yeah, here's what we were going to do, Stevie. So I went into the event early, Steve. I said, Russ, maybe we'll see if it'll work. I'm going to call you, Russ. I'm going to put you on speaker and we'll hold the microphone up to my phone and see if this will work, right? Which it wouldn't. It worked in an empty room, Steve. Well, then you get a bunch of drunk farmers in there, right? It went ballistic. So Russ is like writing bits, Steve, texting me through the night, writing stuff that he's going to do. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like he's working for Bill Burr or something. Okay. He goes, I said, sorry, Russ, it was a shit show. Okay. Laugh. He goes, I was ready. Here's what he's going to do, Stevie. Okay. He was ready. He's like, you have called the Toronto Maple Leafs helpline. Not bad, Stevie. Okay. Press 1 if you're depressed. Press 2 if you're pissed. Press 3. Ready? Et cetera, et cetera. Hey, Rusty. Yeah. Go back to being a grandfather. He's a grandfather, Steve. His daughter had a daughter. His daughter had a daughter.
There you go. That's nice. Very nice.
Yeah, Allie and Eric Kendricks. Anyway.
Well, I'm not surprised that he chimed in there, though, because he's been such a slave for preparation on the suspendables. So that's...
he's worse than I am. Yeah. He's worse than I am.
Yeah. He's good for you.
Well, you know, I remember you apologizing to me going, hey, Jungle, how much can you take of a guy going, yeah, I don't know. Don't give a shit. What? I don't know. Yeah, don't ask me. Okay. How about this one, Steve? Don't ask me, right? Is a sort of one-off, right? It's like a small talk thing. You know, you go, I don't know. Don't ask me, right? Okay. How about Russ going, I told you, don't ask me. Take it easy, Skipper. You know, take it easy. By the way, Stevie, before we go.
Yes, sir.
By the way.
I think that's it.
I hope Snoop Dogg gets it, Steve. A lot of you brought up he's a little closer to the NHL than you think. And what people may forget, Steve, is the long time that Snoop Dogg spent with the Minnesota Lynx.
Oh, yes.
So there's some experience there.
Nice.
There's some experience.
There's a little part of me wants to do a Snoop Dogg impression here, but I don't. He has that code, that language.
Physical, isn't it?
I don't even know. I don't even want. Yeah. But it was. I had a bit of an instinct to end the show with a Snoop impression, but I refuse.
Can you do it?
No.
Okay, well, can you take us out with the Snoop Dogg song? Yeah, find that one. Snoop Dogg.
What's my name?
Yes, and double OPDOG, whatever it is.
Yeah. So I'm going to drop it while it's hot. Close it.
Drop it while it's hot. Drop it while it's hot. Good night, everybody.
Just trying to think of a lyric from it. We'll see. Yeah.